God knows your works tonight. He knows your motivation for the things that you do and why you do what you do. If it's genuine or if you're just doing it because your arm was twisted a little bit and you just feel pressured, like, I need to do this. God knows your works. God knows your motivations. He knows what you're doing. And God said to this church here, these works that you're doing, you're not cold, you're not hot. You're just sort of in between. You're doing it, you're sort of with it, but you're not really with it. And he says, I would rather have you either be cold or hot. God would rather have us be really on fire for him or just back out of this thing and forget about it at all, because it's a strong thing here. But God says in verse 16, for then because thou art lukewarm, you're neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. I will spit you out of my mouth. I won't accept this. God won't accept half-hearted Christianity. God won't accept following him part way. Some people feel justified in following God partway. They're doing most of what God wants. That doesn't make God happy. God wants to follow us, and I've been sharing this a lot lately, with our whole body, soul, and spirit. He wants us to give 100%, and he knows your works. God knows if you're doing your very own. I might say, you're doing pretty good. I like what I see. But God might be looking and thinking, Pastor, you might think they're doing pretty good, but I happen to know they could do a whole lot better. And God is the judge of those things. So you need to see yourself. And I don't think it's a wrong way God would answer. If we would really see ourselves how God sees us, what would that do to us? Would it change us in any way? Would we think, wow, that's how God really sees me? Because God knows the thought and the intent of the heart. So he wants us to be neither cold nor hot. But he says, I'll speak in Zion. Why is the persecuted church so much more on fire for God than a church that's not persecuted? Because they're put to task. They have to really test and try their faith. But we get all of these blessings here in America. We have so much. I have everything that I want, or I have everything that I need. And a lot of us have things that we even want that we don't really need. And there's a security that goes with that. We just sit back, and in reality, many times what we're saying is, we don't say that, we're saying that, God, I've been so blessed, I don't really need you anymore. You've taken so good care of me. God, I don't need to bother you anymore for my daily needs because you have so blessed me. We shouldn't look at things that way. Amen. If God blesses us abundantly and blesses that much, I would think we are told to be content in whatever condition and state we're in, to be content while we're in that position. It might not be a comfortable position, but don't go to the point of saying, I don't need anything. I've received all that I can receive of God. I don't need any more of you, God. I've got all that I can take. That's a dangerous position to get into. I know that I've shared this before. I was in a tent revival one time that Pastor Eastman and Pastor Larson were having. And the power and presence of God was really strong in that service. And you could feel the convicting power of God. And there was an altar call that was given. And the altar call, it more or less, was given this way. Anybody that wants more of God in your life, I want you to come forward. We want you to come forward. And many people gathered around. And then, I believe under the direction of God, the minister, I can't remember if it was Pastor Eastman, I think it was him, and he says, and those that remain in your seat, you're a possibility. And that was in the summer of the year. And that fall of the year, right around Thanksgiving time, that individual that didn't go up because he was saying, and it was said in the service, that there was a convicting power that was there. You're staying in your seat. You're saying, God, I want no more of you. I have all that I need of you. That young man didn't respond to that altar service, and the day after Thanksgiving, he was taken out in an accident that same year. So, Pastor Eastman had even said this, perhaps, maybe there is a possibility that God, not saying that the individual didn't make heaven their home, or they were saying to God, I've got all of you that I need, I'm content with what I have, and God's thinking, well, you don't want any more of me, you have all of me that you need. I just might as well take you out of this life right now and bring you home to heaven with me. That could be the possibility. So it's a dangerous place to get into that spot, get into, amen, to say, I don't need any more of God. We need God every day. Amen. His mercies are new every morning. And I remember Sister Grandma Larson here in the church, I don't know how many years she had been a Christian before she was taken into Glory Land. But I remember her testifying. There would be times, and if she was here tonight, she'd have had a testimony. She was quick like Sister Linda was tonight. There was a testimony meeting. She was always first on her feet. And it was just amazed us, the other saints of God that were here. She would stand up and she would say, my, I was reading Bible this week and I seen something that I never seen before. And it's like, man, how could you see something you never seen before? You've been serving God for 50 plus years. But this is the living word. There's something new in there for you every day, just as his mercies are new every morning. God has something new. God, we're walking on air. We just feel so good. It should be that way year round. It just don't have to be a camp meeting where I just, I go make it to camp meeting and I'm getting my balloon pumped up and I'm getting the air pumped up. I'm getting pumped up for Jesus. But as the year goes on, the balloon is more deflated and more deflated, and I hope I can make it to next camp meeting so I can land in there and get filled up with God again. God doesn't want it to be that way. God wants us to be full of Him at all times. Amen. Every day, 65 days a year, we need to be full of the Spirit of God. It's your responsibility to stay hot for the Lord. Amen. To stay hot for the Lord. David said, as the deer pants after the water brook, O Lord, so my soul pants after you. I sing so many songs. Why are they dragging on so long? I'm not feeling anything. You don't have a lack of interest. If you ever did anything that you had a lack of interest in doing it, you had to push yourself through it. It wasn't fun to do it. I'm sure there's people that go to sports events that have a lack of interest. They're going. We could take a football game for an example. They might go to a football game. I mean, the church can be a burden for you. It can be a hard time. Say amen and let us go home. Just if I showed up, that's enough. Amen. We got to be careful that we don't have a lack of interest or concern for our own souls. You need to be concerned about your own soul. I can stand here. I can preach to you. I can teach to you the word of God. He said there's going to be many in that day who will say, Lord, Lord. And he's going to say, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you. That should put some fear down in our hearts and in our souls. In our souls. Just let me do my thing. Amen. That's what apathy is. Just let me do my thing. I don't care. I don't care what's going on. Just listening. If I'm interested in it, I'll take part. And if I'm not, you're not going to twist my arm to do it. We got to be careful that we don't get apathy. This is a question. Why are Christian people so difficult to motivate? Christian people are difficult to motivate. Me and Jesus, we got it all worked out. We don't need anybody to tell us what it's all about. We just don't have much motivation. We should be motivated to get out there and work for God. When Jesus called his disciples, there was a motivation that they had. Wherever Jesus went, they wanted to be there with him, especially Peter, James, and John. They were there at a lot of the happenings. A lot of the other disciples were not. They were motivated to follow Jesus. Many churches today, and Christians, because churches represent Christians, represent saints of God. They are fruitless. They're not bearing any fruit. I'm not saying that they're not saying that they won't go to heaven, but they're just fruitless. It's just not. Did you ever look at some Christians and think, wow, they sure don't seem to have the joy of the Lord? A couple of weeks ago, we shared about the oil of gladness. They sure don't seem to have any oil of gladness within them, because perhaps they're falling into a down there. I was so excited about it. When my parents found out about it, I was told, no, you can't do that. And the family that I was staying with down there, they had a big yard. They had a lot of grass to cut. Well, I never pushed a power mower, but I was down there on vacation. They let me push that power mower. Man, was I interested in that. That was fun, pushing that lawnmower, watching that grass come out, cutting in a straight line. It was something new for me. I had all kinds of interest in it, but after a while, I figured out that that's work and that isn't so much fun. And then I developed the lack of interest or concern about lawnmower. If we're not careful, we can do the same thing spiritually. We have a new experience in God, and it's good, and it feels good, and it keeps us going. But then the enemy comes in, and he throws different things at us, and then all of a sudden, we don't have an interest in those things anymore. The baptism of the Holy Spirit into a lukewarm state. Well, it's always there. I can turn it on when I want to turn it on, and I can shut it off when I want to shut it off. We should never look at that in the things that God has for us. Amen. We have so much information today. We have so much information today. And here's what we do. Because we have so much information today, our minds play little tricks on us, and we mistake knowing about a problem for doing something about that problem. Lack of interest, lack of concern. We know about the problem, but we're not going to do anything about the problem. And we think we're just justified because we know about a problem. We know the tactics of the devil. We feel justified by that, but what are we going to do about it? Amen. Our knees in prayer. Amen. We need to follow on with the Lord. It's not enough just to know about a situation, but you have to do something about it. Amen. You have to be concerned. Sometimes we feel so hopeless. We feel so helpless. The task seems so great. The need is so great. I'm just one person. You need to have concern about those things. Here's what we're concerned about. We're concerned about being informed, but we're not concerned about being active. We want to know everything that's going on, and then we'll just pick and choose what we're going to get involved in. God wants us to be involved. He wants us to be on fire for Him. He wants us to be a firebrand for the Lord. Verse 18, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. Thine eyes with eyes salve, that thou mayest see us. And that was the counsel of the Jesus to this church here. Buy of me gold and the tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed. God, I want a closer walk with you. That old song, that old hymn, we don't sing much around him here. It's not really a comfort. Excited about this salvation that you experienced. And this thing that you experienced, you want other people to experience it. And when you see them and you see situations, your heart aches for them. You just wish that you could just grab a hold of them and say, look, this is what you need. We know we can't exactly do it that way, but yet we just get, well, they're not concerned about it. I won't be concerned about it, but I know that I'm going to make heaven my home. God wants us to be concerned. Amen. And then it says at the end that God would anoint their eyes with eye salve that thou mayest see. God, anoint my salve that I may see how I really am. It's a sobering thought. Because only what really matters is how God sees you. It matters the condition of your soul. How does God see you? Oh, we're so interested in how the pastor sees us. We're so interested in how the other saints of God are this morning. Where you need to fix things up a little bit. Where you need to turn the lights on a little bit brighter. Where you need to trim the wicks, amen, of the lamp so that the light can burn brighter. Amen. You need to do that, God. You need to let sanctification work in your life. Jesus said, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. And so there was hope. It's repent. That means you do a turnabout. You just change the way you're doing things. I'm not going to do that anymore. If you're not praying like you should pray, you need to repent. God, I repent of this. And then if you really repent of it, you're going to I repent that I haven't been reading your word like I should be reading your word. And if you say I repent, that means that you're going to do better than what you're doing. And then in verse 20, and this is what Jesus is doing. Now this verse a lot of times is used out of the context that it was written here, because Scripture, not saying that they can't use it this way, but they'll use it for salvation. He's standing at the door and knocking. But he's standing at the door and he's knocking on the hearts of the people that are lukewarm. Those that really aren't doing what they could do for God. They're not reaching their full potential for God. God's merciful. He's patient. He's loving. And he's knocking at the door. And he stands there and he knocks. He says, I stand at that door and I knock. And if any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in unto him. If there's anything that we pray about, we need to pray, God, let me hear your voice. Let me recognize your voice. Let me recognize the voice of the Spirit when you speak to me, and I'll know it's thus saith the Lord. God, you're knocking on my heart's door. You're calling on me. I want to hear that. With us, he will feed us. And we'll be able to feed from him. We'll be able to feed off of each other. And so Jesus isn't angry with us tonight. He's not upset with us tonight. He's just patiently standing at the door and knocking. Standing at the door and knocking. We can feel the tugging. We can hear God knocking. We can hear God's call. But we just plant our feet, and that isn't for me. And you know, this is sort of annoying what you're talking about tonight. And I just wish you would shut it down so that we could move on. God's standing at the door and he's knocking. And he's saying, my fullness. There's a whole lot more where what you already have, amen, came from. There's a whole lot more that God wants to give us. You can never get too much of God. If some people say, I'm so heavenly minded, I'm no earthly good. There's no such thing that you're going to get too much of God. And it says, to him that overcometh, will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. Amen. And so if we're that overcomer, we're going to sit with him in his throne. We're going to rule and we're going to reign with him. And that last verse says, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the church. Not what so-and-so says to the church. What is the Spirit saying to the church today? What is the Spirit of God speaking in your heart today? What he is saying to you today. Do what it is that, whatever it is that God wants you to do. Amen. So that there's not, it's not enough to be concerned, but we must move into action. And in verse 20, Jesus knocks on the door of the heart and he wants in. And in many hearts, it's the gifts of the Spirit. There's a lot that God has for the church to work together in unity, in the fullness of the power of Christ. There's so much more than what we already have now. We need to seek out and see what it is that God would have for us. Amen. And if you can hear what God is saying, it's okay to hear, but then you have to listen to what he is saying. Jesus is never going to say, sit down. You're getting a little bit too close to me. You're getting into my comfort zone. Just back up a little bit. Jesus isn't going to do that. I might do that to you if we're in conversation and you get close to me. I'll just back up a little bit. And that's another subject. Everybody has their own comfort zone. If you're standing and talking, just keep inching closer and closer to them and see how close you can get to them before they take a step back. That's a person's comfort zone. You're getting too close. Just they won't say, back off, Jack. You're getting a little close. But just try that out on people. Amen. Maybe before you say, whoa, stop right there. You've come close enough. You can keep going closer and closer and closer to God. Amen. So we need to listen to what the Spirit is saying to the church. We need to listen to what God is saying to us. I know I say it almost every Sunday, but when God tells you what to do, you better do it. Listen. Be obedient to God. He's looking for obedience in his children. He knocks on the door of every one of our hearts, and he knocks on my door. He knocks on the door of your heart. And you know what we do? We have a tendency to do most of the time. We just ignore it. We just ignore it. Yeah, God, I'll get to it sometime. Yeah, I'll answer the call sometime. I'll see what it is that you want. Why do we ignore that knock on our door? Because we're busy with our own life and our own interests. Life is busy. There's a lot going on, going to and fro and this and that. I wouldn't suppose there's anybody in here that has nothing at all planned for this week. It's our own interest. You got to take time to hear from the voice of God. You got to take time. You got to be attentive to him. And I said it this morning, how many times when we're in need do we say, oh Lord, I want you to manifest yourself in this situation. I'm guilty of not even doing that. A situation arises and I'm human just like you are, and I think, well, what can I do about this situation? How can I handle this? I need to, and we need to learn to include God in situations that we face in life. You know, this is something about God. God won't force himself into your life. He won't force the leading of his Spirit. He will bid. He will bid. He will ooh. He will work. We will feel that calling. We will feel, God, I just can't get away from this. You want this in my life. But God won't force himself in. He knocks. And so when he knocks on your heart's door, this one way or another, we all do. We're all guilty of it. I'm guilty of it. A lack of interest, a lack of concern. Man, I got so many irons in the fire. Now you're telling me about another situation. Well, maybe that's for you. It's not for me. We need to have concern. We have apathy. We suffer from this one way or another. Amen. And so when we open the door of our heart, and we open up to God and say, speak, Lord. I want to hear you. Speak, Lord. Amen. There's a song we sing like that. Do you know what? When you stop, okay, God, what is it that you want? You know what's going to happen to you? Your motivation is going to return. You're going to become highly motivated all of a sudden. Man, the Spirit of God is moving in me, and this is what He wants me to do. It might not always be some spiritual. And so what's our job to do? Our job is to open up the door and say, speak, Lord. That's all we sing. My ear longs to hear you. In a minute, we're going to sing that song. Speak, Lord. I'll be willing to go. Something like that. Amen. We're going to sing that in a minute. We got to open the door. So what's apathy? Apathy is this. Is it in your life today? In some things of others? Sometimes because it's human nature. We sort of have a concern. We're interested in knowing about it. But we don't have a real concern because we feel our hands are tied. There's not much I can do about it anyways. I have enough on my plate. I don't need to know every bad thing that's going on for them. That's their decision. If they accept Christ, good for them. If they don't, I guess they'll just burn in hell. It's not my fault. That's their decision. That's apathy. We need to be careful with that. We don't have a concern for the lost. Amen. And then apathy is, we can't be bothered. Don't bother me. You're just uninvolved. Uninvolved. That's apathy. Oh, my phone's ringing. Oh, it's the pastor. I'm not going to answer that because the only time he ever calls is when he wants something. And that's been lately here at the church. I've been doing these different jobs around here. Every once in a while, I need a second pair of hands because I only have two hands. Sometimes I need four hands. I'm giving you an example. You just have no motivation. You just don't want to be bothered. Listen, pastor, my life is full. There's not room for anything else. If you say that, think that about your pastor, I dare say you would think the same thing about God. Listen, God, person, and say, hey, can you help me? Thus and so, and whatever it is. That person's more likely to help you than somebody that's not doing anything. Not doing anything. And you call them, hey, can you give me a hand? Well, I don't know. We'll see. Maybe. Let me see. I'll think about it. I'll give you a call, and you never hear from them. So be careful with that today. Come down to the piano, Sister Bonnie. Let's sing that. Stand to our feet. Let's sing that song. Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. We need to hear the voice of God. God wants us to be excited about Him. He wants us to be on fire for Him. Full of the joy of the Lord. He wants us to be full of that oil of gladness. He wants us to be full of His power. We were talking about His power this morning in Isaiah 64. If God's power really came down upon this earth, Isaiah in his prayer said the mountains themselves would melt. They wouldn't be able to stand under the one that has to open that door. Well, I'll ask God and perhaps He'll help me and maybe He won't want to. I guarantee you that's a prayer that will get answered. If you say, God, I want more of You in my life. God, I want to be closer to You. I want to be more effective in this life for You. God's going to answer those prayers. He's going to open opportunities and doors for you. Amen. Be determined that you're going to be on fire for the Lord. Amen. Let's sing this song.